okay, because mm-hmm. I was tall mm-hmm. there than all my classmates, right? And I was a little clumsy. So what did that mean about me as a person? Mm-hmm. And so what I started to translate that lie into is I'm less than, mm-hmm. that I'm not as good as, or I'm not worthy of being loved or being accepted because I'm this clumsy old oaf, and I'm just less than. And so that's the lie. It's not the fact that I was tall or clumsy. It was that I was less than. And same thing for you.
Right.
The fact is you are a BC student. Right.
Right. And so I think, guys, the point here before, and we're going to get into this a little bit deeper, but I think the point, as you were saying there, is the thing that you may struggle with is not necessarily a lie. You mm-hmm. you know, I may just be the BC student. Mm-hmm. You may be a little more clumsy or taller than the average person. Mm-hmm. But it is us that mm-hmm. attributes that characteristics to giving us value or not. Mm-hmm. And that is the lie. Rock Solid Families wants to thank Maxwell Construction for sponsoring the Rock Solid Families podcast. For over 30 years, Maxwell Construction has been a leader in turning dreams into realities, building schools, banks, restaurants, and many other commercial and public facilities. Maxwell Construction has made it their priority to not just build buildings, but to build into their community. So if you have any construction needs, call them at 812-537-2200. Welcome to Rock Solid Families Podcast. This is Merle and Linda Hutchinson coming together today to bring you really a thoughtful, interesting, difficult, challenging show.
Wow, there's a lot of adjectives to that.
That's a lot. You guys driving should be overwhelmed right now. You might want to pull over because this one's going to rock you.
Well, this is a topic that I brought to us in our to the table because it is something that I know for at least the women that I work with, this is a huge exercise that we do with them about the lies that we believe and maybe about ourselves, maybe about other people, and maybe about God and, and how that affects what we do and why we do it. So we really want to unpack and really kind of peel back the layers of the onion. Like, where are those lies coming from? And what is it doing to our life? Because I'm just telling you, the women that come into my office, they're stuck. They're stuck ruminating on these recurring themes and lies that they're believing about, usually about themselves.
Right.
Sometimes about others, but and a lot of times about God.
You know, you direct it towards because of your experience with the women, but I will just tell you, like, this is probably as universal as anything. Yeah. I mean, you and I talked about it a little bit, and I was pushing back a little bit on the subject, not because men don't have lies, but by what men do with the lies oftentimes. And so oftentimes when I buy this idea of the lie, I overcompensate in other areas so that I can maybe push it down deep and cover it with something that I'm better at or good at. So we all have them. And we're going to tackle like what the definition of a lie is here, because some things are not lies. It could be factual, but how I attribute value to that thing.
So you might be totally confused as to where we're going. So I just want to kind of start, hun, with a little bit of personal experience, because we were talking about this, like, what are some of the lies I believed growing up that really hit a nerve and really, you know, I had to overcompensate for or just really shaped what I did and why. And one of them was that, you know, growing up, I was very clumsy. And my mom would say that she put me in dance lessons at a very early age to try to make me graceful, and it didn't take very well. And like 12, 13 years of dance, and I still was very clumsy, and so they would nickname me Grace. And so there was this perpetual, you know, what do you call it, narrative in my head that I was just this clumsy old loaf. Oof, I don't know what you call that. Oof. And part of it was because I grew so tall so fast. Mm-hmm. So I was like the tallest kid in my class in the fifth grade and by leaps, boys and girls. Mm-hmm. And then I was clumsy. I would fall or wreck my bike or whatever. And so like those things stuck in my head is like I'm less than because I'm clumsy. Mm. And so we talked about this, that we had to have this conversation as a married adult because you would make fun of me when I would drop the casserole of dinner or something. And that would trigger something in me, a lie that I used to believe that I'm just this clumsy old loaf that I need to figure out what that word is. Oof. I don't know.
I think it's oof.
Neanderthal, whatever it was, that I believe that lie.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. So mine wasn't that I was clumsy. Mine was, you know, I hung around. So when I was even the younger guy, I was a younger guy in my group of friends. And so my friends were all a year or two older than me. And on top of that, a lot of those guys in that group were pretty smart guys in school and everything. They were pretty smart. They made like straight A's. Mm-hmm. And so between being young and the immature kid, and also being, I'd be a BC student, okay? Mm-hmm. It wasn't like I was ever failing anything, but I was the BC student, and so they were always talking about their A's. They were talking about grade point averages, and I didn't even know like what a grade point was. And so I grew up with the idea of I'm stupid. Mm. I'm stupid. And then in high school, I always hung around people who were always thinking college. Mm. I didn't hang around guys who were going to go into the trades or something. Mm-hmm. I hung around people who were going into college. So they always did this college talk. And when I started to hear about them and their SAT scores and that, and I couldn't measure up. Mm-hmm. And so I think part of my challenge with that was, you know, God gifted me with other things. And so I would overcompensate with those other things with the hopes that either I could drown out my weakness or my fear, or I could intimidate them with what I brought to the table.
Yeah.
So it became a weapon. Mm. And I knew where I was weak. So my kryptonite was like I had to hide my kryptonite.
That's a good way of putting it. And the point is that we're not trying to say that you should go to your child and say, oh, you're an A student when they're really a BC student.
It would have been nice.
But I mean, we're not saying that you should lie with a lie, but we're saying that what are these facts, okay, because I was tall there than all my classmates, right? And I was a little clumsy. So what did that mean about me as a person? And so what I started to translate that lie into is I'm less than, that I'm not as good as, or I'm not worthy of being loved or being accepted because I'm this clumsy old oaf, and I'm just less than. And so that's the lie. It's not the fact that I was tall or clumsy. It was that I was less than. And same thing for you.
Right.
The fact is you are a BC student, right?
Right. And so I think, guys, the point here before, and we're going to get into this a little bit deeper, but I think the point, as you were saying there, is the thing that you may struggle with is not necessarily a lie. You you know, I may just be the BC student. You may be a little more clumsy or taller than the average person. But it is us that attributes that characteristics to giving us value or not. And that is the lie. That is a lie. The lie is that our value comes from that attribute. And that is a lie, guys. And so right there, we have to recognize that I need to understand really where my value does come from. And it doesn't mean, listen, it doesn't mean, okay, that gives me release that I should not study for any more tests because, no, I still have a responsibility to take care of whatever it is my weaknesses are.
Yeah.
But that single weakness does not attribute fully to my value or lack of.
Yeah. And that goes as parents to what we say and how we articulate it to our kids. And so if your children make a mistake, okay, you got to be really, really careful that you don't say you're a bad kid because they hear that and they internalize that as there's something wrong with me versus you made a bad decision. And so it's funny how when you may say you made a bad decision and they'll come back at you of, you mean I'm a bad kid or you think mm-hmm. I'm a bad kid. And it's really important that we hear that lie and we correct that. And you and I were talking, hon, we've got to be careful as parents that we don't kind of lump them into being the same thing.
Yeah. Again, we're not saying you don't point out or address if your kid got in trouble or something. What we talk about is how we don't let that thing carry all mm-hmm. the weight to give your kid all the value or lack of that. Mm-hmm. So that's what we want to be careful with.
Yeah. And it's, sometimes it comes not from you as a parent, but comes from their peers. And so right. I want you to pick up on it, mom and dad, when they come home and let's say their boyfriend or girlfriend broke up with them and they're going around, I'm such a loser. Mm-hmm. No one loves me. No one's choosing me. You know, I can't trust anybody. Like, those are lies. Those are lies from the enemy based on what something happened with another person. And they've translated that into my worth and value depends on if I have a boyfriend or if somebody does, mm-hmm. you know, be my friend.
Yeah. Well, let's talk too, hon, about how we actually live and carry out life every day with trying to defend and protect that lie that we have. And this is how we can tell that somebody's carrying this. Okay. Yeah. And so what I do, I'm as guilty as can be of this. And that is, if out of nowhere you, in my mind, you become critical of me of something, you say, well, you know, you really didn't do very good at cleaning the garage or something. That critical statement will right away kick me because you hit a spot and I will flip it right away and pull out my sword and say, well, you know what? I don't think that you've done the best job in this area either. Mm-hmm. In other words, I know, in this case, we're talking to you and I know your weaknesses as well. And I will double back around. Mm-hmm. And so the next thing you know, we have these battling swords that are trying to protect our weakness of, I don't want to be found out, right? And so this is that tit for tat. This is when you get your kids and they're going back and forth. Oh yeah, well, you know what you are? And they go back and forth. And so we have to understand, this goes back to the scripture of both of us from the get-go should realize, don't be looking at the speck in somebody else's eye. In other words, don't even be critical from the get-go. There's a time to bring up certain subject matter, but critical, just for the sake of being critical, is going to spark this whole tit-for-tat back and forth of defense mechanisms.
Yeah, speaking of defense mechanisms, if you did not catch our defense mechanism show with Meredith, probably about 5 or 6 weeks ago, I really encourage you to go back and listen, because we not only talked about all of these, including projection and avoidance and displacement, we talked about all these defense mechanisms, but we literally attached to the show notes a handout that had all these defense mechanisms, because you're right, hon, that's what we do when it's triggering something in us, when you've touched, you know, when you've, somebody's pouring salt in a wound that hasn't healed right, maybe it goes all the way back to childhood, we double down, right? And we, you know, project it onto somebody else. So,
So let's talk about some of the common lies that, you know, you brought this up. You actually have some, we have some papers out in front of us that are different types of worksheets and things that we go through. And some of them are lies from the sense that they are true and we haven't accepted them as truth. We've replaced them with our sense or our definition of a truth. And so that can get us in trouble as well.
Well, again, there are lies we believe about God. Okay. And so the enemy loves that. He wants us stuck. He wants us beating ourselves up or blaming God. And so there's a lot of lies that we believe about God, for instance, that he's distant and he doesn't care, you know, instead of the fact that he is intimate and involved in our lives, you know, that he has amazing plans for our lives, instead of he doesn't care and he just cast us out, you know, Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a future. And so a good future. And so I want to cling to that truth instead of the stinking thinking that, you know, nothing's ever going to work out for me or I'm a loser. You know,
yeah.
That's the enemy twisting the truth that God gives us about who he is. That, by the way, he's insensitive and uncaring. You know, he's a kind and compassionate God, slow to anger, it yeah. says.
Well, one of them, I have a vision of God as being the kind of the mean old ruler.
Yeah.
He's the rule keeper. And as soon as you step out of line, he's almost like the police officer, right? Where he's all about seeing what each of us have done wrong. Because we talk about he knows when you've been bad and good. Oh, no, that's Santa Claus.
Yeah. Oh, so, that's bad.
And so, but you have that feeling that God is constantly watching everything I do that's wrong. Mm-hmm. And that takes away from the whole idea that God is the God. Also, he does see those things, but he's also the God of grace, right? The God of mercy and second chances. And so we can, if we picture God as just that Marine militant officer, that's all about right and wrong, that will definitely put me in a place where, well, I'm never going to be good enough.
Yeah, and the enemy loves that. As you were talking, hon, I pulled up not just John 3:16, but 3:17, which I think is just as powerful as 16. You know, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. But look, listen to John 3:17. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they've not believed in the name of God's one and only son. And so, you know, he's saying, I'm slow to anger. I'm slow to condemn. I want to have a relationship with you. I am patient, beyond patient. And so that is the truth about God. But the enemy just wants to plant those lies. Mm-hmm. Like, man, he's a harsh, mean old man who wants to see me hurt.
Yeah, he condemns. He doesn't condemn. We condemn ourselves when we put ourselves as the rulers of right and wrong. Mm-hmm. As long as, because we attribute it to the king or the government. And so, but when we attribute all of this to God, he doesn't condemn because God is the creator of all. And he wants us all to live.
Yeah. So we encourage you to take the challenge and to write down some of the lies that we've talked about God, what you're believing about God, okay? That he is a mean God, that he doesn't love you or doesn't care about you or, you know, he's not enough or he doesn't seem to be in your life. Like, write those lies down, and then we really encourage you to go back to God's word for the truths to replace the lies. And you're going to have to literally rewrite the script going on in your mind, whether it be when you're driving, when you're sleeping, when you're out with friends and no one's talking to you, that you literally think, well, I guess no one cares about me. Like, those are the lies, and we're going to have to replace them with truth. But how about, God, hun, about the lies that we believe about ourselves?
I think, you know, we have to be very clear at recognizing how we attribute value to that, because it may not be a lie, right? Like we said before, that I may just be that B student. That part is not the lie, but it's how I have attributed a great value to that. So that for some reason, the fact that I'm just a B student weighs much more significantly on me than the fact that I could be a good dad. And so everything, we put it, everything on these balanced scales, and we give some things much more credit in the weight. And so I think for ourselves, hon, it's really important. And I think the school world actually really helped me see how wrong we were getting it. And I've said this many times in different shows because it hits in so many different areas. So many of us got a lot of our value or lack of value from the school setting. If you were the kid who did really well on in your academics.
SATs.
Yeah. You did 12 years of being patted on the back and like, look how great you are and all these things versus the kid who couldn't stand every day of those 12 years, who couldn't wait to get out, who thought, why do we have to do this thing? And it's all they could do to get by. And he graduated with the idea of, I'm not really good at anything. And so he ascribes to that so much power in his unworthiness, and the other one overinflates himself to say, I'm better than anyone else. And so this is where good parenting has to come in. This is where self-education, when you get it old enough and secure enough in who you are to say, God, who'd you make me to be?
Mm-hmm.
And I am of value just because I am yours. And mm-hmm. I know that sounds churchy and cliche, mm-hmm. but it's really where we have to start. Like, mm-hmm. I am not junk. Mm-hmm. Like, I am of value. But again, it goes back to that idea of how did I let the world mm-hmm. determine what was valuable?
Right.
And
just because my report card didn't say so.
Yeah. Yeah. And look, how many guys do we know that are unbelievable professional football players? Mm-hmm. And as soon as they get out of football, mm-hmm. their life is devastated.
Yeah.
Because they put the value on right. that one particular thing that they yeah. did, they did really well.
Yeah, they equated that with value. Same yeah. thing with moms. I have so many moms who are really struggling with identity and purpose because all of their worth and value came in being a good mom.
Mm-hmm.
And now their kids are grown up, they're out of the house, and then literally the wife's or the mom's left holding the bag like, I don't know what to do now. And so the lie is, I have no value.
Right.
No
right.
one needs me. My life and my purpose mm-hmm. is over. Mm-hmm. That's the lie of the enemy. Is it a fact that your kids have grown up and moved out? Yeah, that's not a lie.
Right.
But it's what it means to about you that you're believing. And so I, again, encourage you as an adult or teen, whoever's listening to this, to have, and as a parent, have your kids write down, I have asked this question, hon, more times than I can count. And can I just tell you, I will look at a woman in her eyes and say, what are the lies you're believing? Mm-hmm. And hon, before they ever speak a word, the tears just start to flow.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's almost like I'm pulling back the veil and I'm bringing down the mask. And we're exposing some things that have kept them stuck, some of them for decades.
Mm-hmm.
And no one's ever asked that question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a lot of deep healing that has to take place. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times we can heal on the outside, but the inside still has a lot of scar mm-hmm. tissue all wrapped up in it. And so getting back in there, and that's why sometimes you have that deeper therapy where you go, okay, mm-hmm. we better go back and uncover that, because I can continue to stay busy and occupied and mm-hmm. try to find value in other things. But eventually it gets really fatiguing when your weak mm-hmm. spot keeps getting revealed.
Yeah. So I see two extremes of the pendulum, okay? We've swung one way and then completely opposite. And one is that we are defined by our mistake, mm-hmm. that I am shamed by the abortion I had or the child I had out of wedlock mm-hmm. or about my divorce or, you know, my failed business, whatever it is. Like, we swing by and we totally just let that become our identity.
Right.
I am a mistake or I am a loser because my business failed. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that extreme is where we see a lot of lies. But then, hon, here's the other pendulum that goes swinging the other way. And that is, I can't control myself. There's nothing I can do about this.
Mm-hmm.
It's not my fault. It's someone else's fault. And we play the victim part of that mm-hmm. is, I can do whatever I feel like to make me happy. That's also a lie.
Yeah. Yeah.
It has the same destructive result than the other side.
Yeah. So let's talk about the ownership of the fact, not the mm-hmm. lie, the fact that maybe I did have an abortion. Maybe my mm-hmm. company, I ran it into bankruptcy.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't, as you just said there, it doesn't alleviate our responsibility to that action, whatever mm-hmm. that means, right? Making it right again mm-hmm. or healing it. And so I think it's extremely important that rather than that one way that you heal and find value in yourself is how you deal with those things.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's just say you feel like you are worthless because you've always been overweight. And so you never felt like you were attractive. You never were mm-hmm. able to be as active as maybe you wanted to be. And so you kind of became the victim of that and you felt like you're just a worthless person. The idea that you can gain some worthiness again is you saying mm-hmm. through God's power, I'm going to be the best version of myself as mm-hmm. possible. And so I do go back and say, you know what? I want to be the healthiest version. And I do start to take care of whether it's my weight or fitness level, I go in there and I deal with that.
Yep.
Okay. If I did have that abortion, I go mm-hmm. in and I ask for God's forgiveness because I know it went against God's nature, and I make it right with whoever I need to make it right with.
Yep.
And some of the most powerful speakers that we get to hear on the abortion mm-hmm. Topic are those who have been through mm-hmm. the abortion mm-hmm. and have walked through the healing process mm-hmm. and now have found that they are valuable because now mm-hmm. they are used as an instrument of God. God yes. to serve other people.
Despite their mistake.
Yeah.
That was Abby Johnson, mm-hmm. you know, and if you've not seen the movie Unplanned or read the book Unplanned, it's a powerful, powerful testimony of how God can use our brokenness and our mistakes and bring beauty out of ashes. And so she is one of the leading voices in the pro-life mm-hmm. movement today because of what she's learned and how God has really ministered to her and healed those wounds right. Hun, I was thinking as you're talking about the 12 steps, mm-hmm. you know, if you have done 12 steps, you know, the very first step is admitting your life has become unmanageable. It's mm-hmm. like bringing truth into the lies mm-hmm. that I got it all together, or it's not a big deal, or it doesn't affect me, whatever it is. But that is to say, I admit that I am powerless. And then step two is to accept that you need God. Mm-hmm. But see, if your lies have affected your relationship with God and you believe God is this mean, you know, old man that doesn't care about you, it's really going to affect how you come to him mm-hmm. for healing, right?
Yeah. Hun, that point right there, that the reason why God is in the 12 healing steps is, and I think it's kind of interesting, there actually is an atheistic 12-step program.
Yeah, whatever your higher power
yeah,
is.
Yeah, and it goes something greater, something that you're interested mm-hmm. in or whatever. And the reason why that falls short is because God is the creator of all things. Mm-hmm. He's the creator of all things, and he creates all things to be good and mm-hmm. for his purpose. And so all of a sudden, when I find myself feeling less than good, it is not God that has somehow made the mistake. It's me. It's kind of like me being, I'm a fish out of water. I'm not where I'm supposed to be. I'm not mm-hmm. doing what I should be doing. Mm. And so it's me that has to get back in line with God. And so that's why it's mm-hmm. so important to say, God, what did you make me to be? Yeah. What is my purpose in your mm-hmm. eyes? And so this is why it's so important that people mm-hmm. start to heal and they go, I chose this way of life and I mm-hmm. did these different things. And I realized I did it all because of me versus what God right. designed me to do. And when we start to get in step with God, when mm-hmm. we see, look at the gifts he gave me, look mm-hmm. at the interest that he gave me, and I start to then work in those mm-hmm. for the service of others, mm-hmm. then we start to see healing.
Yeah. And step three, by the way, it falls right in line with what you're talking about, hon, is decide to turn your life over to God, surrender to him. Yep. So that's when you say, okay, my way for your way, God, like your way is better. I'm going to stop believing the lies and mm-hmm. and trying to fill that God-shaped hole with all these other things. I'm going to do this your way. By the way, Merle, you were mentioning about, you know, AA says higher power, right? Mm-hmm. Celebrate Recovery mm-hmm. or Life Recovery groups believe that it's Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. okay? And so this Christian-based recovery is available to you. And can I just tell you, Celebrate Recovery is a nationwide organization, so is Life Recovery Groups. And that is life-giving. It is freedom. It sets you free. And there is some amazing growth and healing that can occur in community with other believers who are on the same path of healing as you. So we really encourage you, if you've been believing the lies that the enemy has planted in your head, and again, it could go all the way back to as a child when your dad left you and your mom, or when your husband walked out, I guess not as a child, but you know, or maybe you were rejected off of a team or you didn't have any friends growing up, whatever those lies started to be formulated from, that you do the deep work of healing so that you are the best version of yourself for you and your family and your relationships.
And the reason that AA or another thing that separates AA from Celebrate Recovery, when AA is Alcoholics Anonymous. Mm-hmm. So it's deeply, deeply associated with drugs and alcohol recovery. Mm-hmm. Okay. And Celebrate Recovery, when we had Roseanne Moore on the mm-hmm, show mm-hmm. Some time back, I think I even said something about addiction. And she's like, well, I want to get something straight.
Yeah.
That Celebrate Recovery is about people with hurts and hangups.
Habits and hangups.
Yeah. And so it's the idea that all of us can have a less than worthy life in our mind by a hurt that we have. Mm-hmm. And putting something other than God on the thing that gives us value. Mm-hmm. And so if you're stuck in pornography, if you're stuck in anger issues, mm-hmm. if you're stuck in grief, it is because you've lost your value and understanding of what mm-hmm. God is. And so it doesn't have, they do deal with people with alcohol and drug issues, mm-hmm. but they're like, no, we all have these hangups. We all have lies that we have bought into mm-hmm. that we have given the value in our life to.
Yeah, that's such a great point. So AA, NA, all of those things, you know, but we're talking about replacing the lies with the truth of God and his word and mm-hmm. believing that Jesus Christ is your savior and that he is enough. And because he's enough, that he has given you life and giving you the things you need so that I can do all things through Christ. It doesn't say in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things. Right. No, it says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And that's where the truth is going to do the real deep healing and replacing those lies with the truth of God's word.
Good stuff.
Good stuff, man.
So guys, everybody is because life is a moving process. We're always moving and we're always making decisions and we're taking actions. We fumble and we stumble and we run. We do all these things. Yeah, we can be clumsy. This is a process of continual healing.
Yes.
You may be feeling pretty good today, but then tomorrow mm-hmm. something gets brought up or triggered in your mind and you fall. So the habit here is to quickly mm-hmm. know, where do I go so that these mm-hmm. wounds don't become festering wounds?
Yeah.
So it doesn't mean you listening to this and you going, yeah, right, Jesus is my savior, mm-hmm. that automatically you're going to have great days every day out. Mm-hmm. You're still going to be, Satan can't wait to tempt you to tell you the lie again mm-hmm. that your value is ascribed to mm-hmm. whatever it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But now the idea that you know what, I'm not going to believe that lie. Mm-hmm. I am a valuable person. I am a good person because
I'm a child of God.
I am of God and I'm here to do God's purpose, not my own.
Yeah. And does that mean that everything's always going to be rosy and work for you? No, you're still going to have, you know, business failures. You're still going to have relationship struggles. You're still going to have health issues, all those things. But that's not what defines us. That's not the truth that God has the promise for us. So, hon, I want to make a comment before we close, and that is, you know, we have a couple of worksheets that we use in session, mm-hmm. and we're going to attach these to the show notes mm-hmm. so that you can start to have some truths in your hand and where they come from. And so one of them is just acknowledging the truth about God, your Father. And so it kind of lists some of the lies that people tend to believe about God and then the truths with some scripture behind it. And then another one is a little bit of a quiz that I give a lot of women and couples that like, where's the stuck point for you? Where mm-hmm. are the lies you're believing? And so there's some truths there that you have to kind of ascribe a value to, like, how much do I believe these truths? Mm-hmm. And so sometimes when your numbers are low, that's where the lies are coming in and you want to really beef up those truths. So I would just encourage you to take that little quiz and to score yourself over, you know, get a percentage and really see like, wow, look at how many lies and how stuck I am in the narrative of the enemy.
Yeah. Just an example of that would be, I know a lot of people struggle with this. If God were truly loving, he wouldn't let bad things happen to good people. Mm-hmm. And so he must not be truly all loving. Mm-hmm. And so we will tell you that we in mm-hmm. scripture states that that's a lie. He's mm-hmm. all loving. But it is our messiness in our head mm-hmm. that can get us to believe that he's not all loving.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, and you know, the Bible says that he disciplines those he loves. And so sometimes he allows us to have consequences for our own bad actions and decisions. And so that's just the reality of how he loves us to show us what it looks like when we step away from his truths.
All right. So guys, hopefully this was a good show for you to at least be thinking about some of the lies that you have kind of fallen for. But also mm-hmm. if you're a parent, how this start is already shaping your kids by how you're parenting. Mm-hmm. Linda and I had talked right before we got on how mm-hmm. we have often been critical of our kids that started to define mm-hmm. and gave value to some of the lies. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess I'm not very good at school, you know, by things that we point out maybe more than we should, mm-hmm. okay, or how we point it out. And so from a parenting perspective, from a couple perspective, mm-hmm. there's a lots of different things. If you find there's a lot of nagging going on in your marriage, mm-hmm. chances are, all you're doing is trading punches with the lies that you're trying to protect, mm-hmm. all right? And yeah. so these are just things. And if we can help you, mm-hmm. please reach out to us. You can get us at rocksolidfamilies.org or call our office at 812-576-7625, or yeah. that is ROCK. Right. But, you know, get some help, because as Linda and I even work through this, we sometimes didn't even think of it as a lie until mm-hmm. you start talking about it more and you go, wow, mm-hmm. I did put a lot of value on something I should have not put value on.
Yeah. Didn't define me. We also want to thank our sponsors, Casey's Outdoor Solutions and Maxwell Construction, for their support of the Rock Solid Family podcast and the bigger organization of Rock Solid Families. And again, go to rocksolidfamilies.org. Check us out and you can look at past shows. Please share our shows. We desperately need your help getting these kind of messages out, especially when it comes to the lies we believe. And so share this with your kids. Talk about the lies maybe they believe and reiterate the truths of God's word so that they can have peace and joy and a long-lasting life with God the Father.
All right, guys, thanks for listening to Rock Solid Families Podcast, building a stronger community, one family at a time. Make it a great day. Rock Solid Families wants to thank Casey's Outdoor Solutions for sponsoring the Rock Solid Families podcast. Casey's has grown to be one of the largest and most unique garden centers and gift shops in the Cincinnati tri-state area. Whether you are looking to take on that next landscape project or simply add a little home decor to your house, Casey's has you covered. Located at 21481 State Line Road, Lawrenceburg, Indiana. Call them today at 812-537-3800. Let Casey's help you add beauty to your home.